Good evening, everyone. Good to see everyone out tonight. Just going to start with a question here. Have you ever borrowed something valuable? How did you treat it? I would venture to say that you probably treated it very carefully, making sure you didn't break it and probably that you didn't lose it. Just keep that in mind for the lesson tonight. The lesson tonight is really about stewards, and its title is Managing What Belongs to God. If we turn to Psalms 24 and verse 1, the New American Standard Bible reads, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." Stewardship begins with understanding ownership. God owns it all. It's His. Another reading would be go to Psalms chapter 50 and read 9 down through 12, 13. And where God talks about the cattle on 1,000 hills are His. All the things in the field are His. The whole world belongs to Him. He says, I were hungry, I would not ask you for food because it's all mine anyway. So, if we define a steward is someone entrusted with managing something that doesn't belong to them. If you will, consider a store manager. The store doesn't belong to them, but they're entrusted with managing the business, taking care of it, and hopefully making a profit with it. So they're managing the business. They're stewards of that store. In God's kingdom, we are stewards, and that means everything we have. Our time, our talents, that's abilities, our passions, and actually even the very air we breathe belongs to God. He created all. This is universe is His. This earth is His. He made it. It's a beautiful place for us as human beings to dwell on. So when we look at time, got my pages backwards here, got to find the real page 2. And if I left it at home, we're in deep trouble. But we start off with our time. We got time, abilities, and our treasures. But time, in the scripture reading tonight from 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, states, each one has received a gift, and we are to use it in serving others. And it says in verse 30, that's in verse 11, so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. Notice Peter didn't say some of you, but each of you. So has received, and is to serve others. Every single believer is entrusted with something, and I've listed it as time, talents, and the treasure that we have. Being a faithful steward is using what God has given us for serving. And so we're going to start out, like I said a minute ago, with time. And every day is a gift from God. And the question is, how are we using our time? Do we spend too much time on things that have no eternal value? Do we take the time every day to read God's Word? Do we take time to pray out for others? We know that many in this congregation have problems, many physical ailments that need to be corrected. And I know that this is a busy life. We all get busy. We know that. And do we get so busy that the spiritual things, they'll take a back seat, which they shouldn't? And I want to talk about family for just a minute. We had 5 children. Actually, we still have 5 children. They just have to be old adults now. And I think raising these 5 children with the job I had, so busy working so much, that it was probably the busiest time in my life. And actually, when I retired, I got tired of doing nothing, so I was looking around for something to do all the time. But you can get so busy in this life that's what happens to you. I believe that when Dee and I were raising our 5 children, I mean, they in school, they were in sports, in the band, drama, chorus, and the list goes on and on, the things they were in. And you can just think about that. And the folks that are raising small children, you realize that we started up the girls in brownies, the boys in Cub Scouts, and then they jump into Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. and then in all kinds of sports, playing soccer, their band, and everything you could think of, they're in it. And I can remember Saturday mornings we'd get up, indeed pack some of the kids in one car, and she'd be heading out one direction to a soccer field, and I'd have the bunch of the kids in my car, and I'd have them headed another direction to a soccer field. And hopefully, and by the way, this was the days before cell phones. You didn't communicate that way. You communicated before you left, and you hope you met where you were supposed to be at about lunchtime or something. And a lot of times it just didn't happen, so we just worked it out some way. But you get so busy like that, and I think most of us understood that raising children. It's some of you that are raising children still do. My daughter down in Florida, she solved her problem. When she had three kids, she decided, hey, I'm going to homeschool. It's going to be easier. So she did. And she did a good job because all of her kids got scholarships to college. And that's really a saying something for someone that homeschooled their children. So, but I also want to drop this off. And I don't mean to step on anybody's toes tonight, but I'm just going to tell you what Dee and I did. We had a hard, fast rule with our children. They could get in anything in school they wanted to with our approval. But Wednesday nights were out. There was no band practice. There were chorus practice. There was no play, drama club practice. No, what it was, any sports practice. And if they needed a letter from me or me to go up to school to tell the teachers, I did. They could be in it, but Wednesday nights was reserved for Bible study. They would have their Bible lessons ready when they met these classes, when they went to class. And we kept that rule all the way up to the last one graduated from high school in 1991. And it was just a hard, fast rule we had. You're not going to interrupt Wednesday night Bible study for school. And I'm going to say one other thing. I worked 40 years for the General Electric Company. 40 years. I had a variety of jobs, from management down to just individual contributors. Never did I ever work a Sunday. I absolutely refused. Got me in trouble times, it did. But I never worked a Sunday. And I'm just throwing that out to you. I thought that it was more important. Spiritual things, eternal things, were more important than my job. Now, again, moving on with the busiest time in life. So we have to find a balance with the things we do. We all know that. Our jobs can get so busy and we can just don't have time to do things. We have to have time for the world. Yes, we do. We live here. We work here. We go to school here. We have to have time for the world. But we can't put God on a back burner. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, when the people were, actually what the people were saying is read the verses before that. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? You know, I'm looking for a job, blah, blah, and on and on. What does Jesus' answer was? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to themselves. Look at I like the last verse in that section of verses at 6:34 when he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Haven't we found it in life? Really, that every day you've got your own set of troubles. Each day seems to bring up your own troubles. You solve them as you go along. That's life. You know, it's just simply life. We take it and we handle it. So, anyway, I hope that was beneficial to you. It's just the way Dee and I decided to raise our children, and they've done a good job. But that was our ideas, that church always came first. And we stuck to that, and that's just the way it was. And the next thing was our talents, and I considered that our abilities, our skills, experience that we may have, that we can help others. A brother or sister may have some kind of help and need. I was hoping Ron was going to be here, because I was going to give him a big plug tonight about, I'm saying it's probably about 20 years ago. I'm saying that because the hot water is starting to leak now. But anyway, my daughter, Chris and Melissa, who are separated now, but anyway, they had a hot water leaking. And I didn't know this. They went behind my back. And they asked Ron one night, hey, Ron, do you know how to install a hot water heater? And he said, yes, I do. And they explained to him what was gone. So the next thing you know, he's over there installing their hot water heater. And it was about 20 years ago, but there's a guy that just knew how to install a hot water heater. So they asked him, and he said, yeah, I'll come over. And he took a couple of hours, and he installed their hot water heater. And that's just another way of talents that we have to helping one another. We put a roof on this church building, about 15 years ago. And we didn't hire a roofer to do it. We did it under the leadership of the Allen Lindsay Roofing Company. Many of you know Alan and his boys put a lot of roofs on and helped a lot of brethren with putting the roofs on. And so he ordered all the material, got it put up on the roof and that. And we all showed up that Saturday morning, and there was a big group of us here. And we put that roof on under the guidance of Alan and his sons. And it was great. We had a lot of fun, and we got the roof done. And I think for the shed, a few other things had to be finished a couple days later. But we got it all done. And I found out that later, they figured it out. By the group of us doing it, we saved the church about $10,000. Because there's a lot of roof here. So we saved the church a lot of money just using Alan's talents, not mine, his talents, to put the shingles on. So you can do stuff like that. We all can do stuff like that. If you got talents, use them. Use them for the glory of God. Help each other along with the things we should do. We were also, in talents, we're to grow in Christ and the knowledge of His will. When we read over 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, if we first become Christians, we're baptized in Christ, we're admonished to long for the milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and 2. As newborn babes long for milk, that's why the newborn Christian should be longing for the word of God. And we have an example in the Bible. What did I do with my Bible? Over in Hebrews chapter 5. Albert, you know there's a chair back here? But anyway, I'm not going to use it tonight. I'm still able to stand. But in chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews was trying to explain about his the Lord being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And in verse 11, starting, it says, concerning him we have much to say. It is hard to explain since you have begun dull of hearing. By this time you should have been teachers. You need again for some to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So we need to grow in Christ. We need to be studying His Word, taking a lot of time in the Word. We're always looking for teachers. Every church I know is always looking for class teachers. We need teachers to develop, and we need song leaders. I like to see young kids. We went to a congregation the other night. A couple of weeks ago, we went, and all the song leaders that Sunday evening service were young men. None of the old song leaders were leading us. All young kids, like we were teenagers. And some of them did a fantastic job. I was just shocked. I would never wanted to be a song leader because I don't understand all those, like that song we just sang out in the left-hand corner and have all the pound signs and stuff, and 6-8, 12-4, 4-4. I don't know what any of that means. The song leaders are going like this. I guess they know, but I don't know. So, but we need people to become song leaders. And if you want to become a song leader, give it 100%. As a matter of fact, give it 110%. Be the best you can. And that's what I'd admonish any Christian to be, the best you can be at what you're going to be. If you're going to be a teacher, study hard and just be the best teacher you could possibly be. We need to grow, and we develop into that. And then the other thing I had was treasure, and that is the material and financial resources God places in our hands. Now, most preachers don't like to preach this. As a matter of fact, I don't know when the last time I even heard a sermon on giving. And I can understand why preachers really don't like to do that, because some brother, you know, may be saying, well, he's just trying to get some extra money for himself or something like that, you know, along that line. Believe it or not, people do think that. But every preacher I've ever known in my life has never, ever been that way that I know of. But giving is not a donation to a worthy cause. And I think a lot of people don't know that. Giving is actually worship. It's worship. It's part of our worship, just like praying is and just like singing is. Giving is part of worship. You drop that money in that collection, you're showing God your worship to Him. You're supporting the work that He wants supported. It is part of worship. When we think about this was kind of hard for me to get sometimes, because I thought, oh man, I really worked hard at my job. This, I earned this and this and that. And the illustration I had was, in a sense, we don't truly give to God. We return to Him what's already His. And I heard people up at the table, and I think I've been used that expression myself, let's return a portion to God for what He's already given us. And the illustration was a child giving a gift to their parents while using the parents' own money. And how many of you have done that? I've done that. You know, go get mommy something for her birthday. You know, you gave him the money. It wasn't his money, but it's the heart. That's the whole idea behind that. It's the heart, not the amount of money or the money that matters. That you're teaching the child a good thing. You know, you're teaching the child a good thing like that. Okay, so giving is actually part of worship, helping others in need or with our finances. Many of you know we had a fire in our house a few years ago, and that was kind of a nightmare for me. But we were helping here at worship on Wednesday night and get a call from the fire department and the police department that, hey, your house is on fire. At first they said, do you live in number 7? And I said, our houses are numbered on the street 1 through 14. It's a private street. And I said, no, I live in 3. And I went, oh, it's not my house. And he goes, that's my me, number 3. So I'm, oh, no. You know. So we get down there, leave here and go down there, and there's the fire. Lynn Walraven was standing down the street right by me. It's cold and miserable. And by the time we get there, they had the fire out. The smoke's just billowing everywhere still. And we finally got a touch of the insurance company that night, and they put us up in a hotel. And I'll tell you the truth. I went to bed that night, and I kept saying to myself, I know I'm going to wake up in about an hour, and this is just a bad dream. Well, I woke up in about an hour, and it wasn't a bad dream. It was a bad reality. And with Dee and I, all we did, we had our suitcases and packed. And we ready to leave in the morning for Florida. We've gone to the Florida Colleges lectures that they have every year in February. And needless to say, all of those clothes in those suitcases were destroyed. And we had the clothes on our back. And you guys really stepped up. You know, there are members in here, you guys really stepped up. And that's what I call Christians loving Christians. Just you stepped up and did a fine job, and I love you for it. And we'll forever, ever be grateful for what you did. But when it happens, return the favor, you know, and I did. I returned the favor as I could. We had another couple in here that had a fire, and I tried to do something for them. But we can use our resources, and I thank you for what you've done. And yet, nothing would be complete talking about this if we didn't go to the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. The parable of the talents, if you read the first two verses in Matthew 25, 14 and 15, we find that the master had entrusted his possessions to his servants. They each received talents according to their own abilities. Now, he gave up his possessions. When we talked about a store manager, he doesn't own the store. He just manages the. Those aren't his possessions either. They belong to someone else, but he's managing them. Well, God gave to these three men talents according to their own abilities to use them. So God gives different gifts, opportunities, and resources to each of us, all with the purpose. And we read that in the reading tonight. And was to bring glorifying God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The question isn't what do I have, but what am I doing with what I've been giving? Are we trying to grow? And we mentioned, you know, be a better teacher, a song leader. Are we trying to grow in evangelism? How do we evangelize better? How do we get people to come to church? Do we knock on doors? How do we got a meeting coming up? Are we passing out flyers? Maybe this will spark you to pass out flyers this week somewhere in the neighborhoods right around here if you can. But anyway, to just what we've given to help others, and we've already mentioned a few areas. In this parable, two servants invested what they were given and produced more. And that's the whole idea behind it, produce more. But one buried his talent out of fear. And the question, do we bury our talents? And I certainly hope we don't. The encouragement is to use your talents. Use your talents, being glory to God. When you look at the end of this parable, when the master comes back to settle accounts with them, the first two that gained more, he praises them. It just praises them for the work they did. But look what he called the one that buried his treasure. He said, "You wicked and lazy slave." That's pretty bad for the Lord to call you wicked. And all you did was you just held on to what he gave you instead of using it. You held on to it instead of using it, and he called you wicked. And that's what he called the slave in the parable of the talents. So the idea is, don't let fear, comparison, or excuses stop you from using what God has placed in your hands. God rewards faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, Paul writes, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful." I'm getting so old now that I can tell all kinds of stories. So I got another story to tell you about helping others. Dee and I were young. We went to the Church of Christ in Evendale. It just started out, and I was young. And just like we do, Sherry Dowers or Joanne Zitt, several of us picked them up and bring them to church. Well, I was asked, we had a girl there that was in a wheelchair, when I was asked one time, would I mind picking her up on Sundays every now and put my name on the list? And I said, yeah, no problem. What I didn't know was they were literal when they said, pick her up. She was a quadriplegic. She lived at Drake Hospital. And when I went over to get her, the orderlies already had her out of bed and in this wheelchair with a seatbelt like. So, okay, happily I get her down the elevator, out to my car. And I go, oh, now what? She can't walk. She can't even stand up. So I take the seatbelt off, and here I am, bending over, grabbing her out of that car, taking her over to my little Pontiac Tempest, and putting her in that front seat. And guess what? My car didn't have seatbelts, because in 1965, seatbelts weren't required in cars. So, and I'm driving a stick shift. I still drive stick shifts. I like sticks. But anyway, how am I going to drive her to church and try to hold her back and I'm shifting gears and that? So somebody should have had a camera there watching this. Had to be a riot watching this, how I did that. But I managed it. Got her to church, and you get to church, and here we go again. Pick her up. First get the wheelchair out of the trunk. Pick her up. Put her in the wheelchair. Strap her in. Roll her into the church building. And guess what? The church building. We didn't have a ramp. Somebody that built the building forgot to put a ramp, and he had three steps. So I'm going, oh, Gene, quit signing up for stuff you don't know what you're getting into. So, but no, I handled it. Took her up for the grass and then got her in there. So it was a little bit of work. But when somebody says, will you pick someone up, you better ask, do you mean literally? Or ask them first. So. But you can do it. We can do that. But anyway, use our talents. And finally, brethren, this is a short lesson tonight. Stewardship is also about lordship. Lordship is about who really rules in your heart. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49, when Jesus is talking to some of his disciples, these are Jewish disciples, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do as I say. And then he goes on to tell these stories. The first man listened to the Lord, and he acted on what the Lord said. It was like a man that built his house upon the rock. And the storms came. And the storms the storms of life came, the temptations, and it did not overpower the house. But the one that did not act on the things he said, the house was like a house built on the sand, and the storms of life came, and of course the house crumbled down. So in John 8:31, Jesus said, if we continue in his word, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The key is, if we continue in his word, and that's what we have to do. So tonight, the encouragement is, we need to be faithful with our time. Find a balance in it, use it wisely, because we only have a limited amount of time. We're not promised this earth to live, hundreds of centuries or anything. It's just a short time. And be generous with our resources. Many of you have proven you've done that over and over again. And be diligent with your gifts. If you could do something, use it. Use it to help others. Use it to help a brother or sister in Christ. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're not a child of God. We would bid that you take the time to think about that, to obey the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, it's come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're not a child of God tonight, we bid that you might come. And if you have some kind of trouble that you want the prayers of the elders, the congregation, make that known too while we stand and while we sing this invitation song.